God. Merry Christmas. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It's good to be here tonight. Amen. Amen. I believe we still got some folks on Christmas holiday, Christmas vacation, I guess. I'm glad God doesn't take a vacation, though. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, if you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 15. Turning your Bibles to Joshua 15. Joshua 15. Amen. Joshua 16, I'm sorry. Joshua chapter 15, verse 16. I'll get it straight. I have not yet stopped today. I have been running around back and forth and here and there, so my mind is not caught up with my body. But Joshua chapter 15, verse 16. Now, 2 weeks from tonight is when over at the youth house, Josh will be kicking off their launch. I guess we call it a launch date. It's going to be their first service for the youth ministry over there. That's 2 weeks from tonight. But next Wednesday night, we are going to be moving, and this will be in the bulletin. We'll announce it Sunday. But next Wednesday night, we're going to move service over there. We're going to move big church to the youth house. Josh had expressed to me that before he began anything over there, he really wanted this church to come over there and really kind of birth this youth program with prayer. And he wanted the folks in the church to go over there and pray. And I just felt led. I said, we can do better than that. I said, we'll do that, but we'll also just move church over there. Because there's been some work done over there at the youth house. We want you to be able to see all that, see what your child is participating in, and so forth. So we're very excited. That's next Wednesday night. We won't have service here, but it's going to be over there. So we are very, very excited about going over there and then have service and then be able to pray and just dedicate that whole program to the Lord in prayer and our children to the Lord and then Josh will kick off the following Wednesday night. So with that said, that's next Wednesday night. But 2 weeks from tonight, as Josh kicks off over there, we're going to start a study in the book of 1 Thessalonians, just like I told you that we would. So we've been praying about that, studying that book, looking at it. And tonight, the Lord has brought us here, though, to Joshua chapter 15, verse 16. I had really wanted for a week now, or maybe more, I'd really wanted to preach just about this new year that God set before us. I wanted to preach about the new beginnings, if you will. I'm glad we serve a God of new beginnings. Somebody needs to say amen right there, or you would not be here, and I would not either. He is that kind of God. But tonight the Lord has led us to Joshua 15, verse 16. We're still thinking about 2019. That's very much on our heart in this message. But I just want you to think on this thought. Give me a blessing. Give me a blessing. If you will, stand in reverence and honor to the reading of God's Word, Joshua 15, verse number 16. And I thank you for being here tonight. And I know the Lord will certainly reward you for your faithfulness unto him. Verse 16, the Bible says this, and Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sepher and taketh it, to him will I give Aksel my daughter to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksel his daughter to wife. Now watch this. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. Now, we need to just stop right there and understand that that semicolon in your Bible and the words that follow is a whole nother event. So she moved Othniel, her husband, to ask Caleb, her father, give us a field, give us some property, if you will. Give us pasture land is what she was asking for. Because pasture land in biblical times was as valuable as pasture land is to you folks here in Franklin County. It was a necessity. So So she moved her son-in-law to ask for a field. Caleb granted that. Let's finish verse 7 or verse number 18. So she moved him to ask of her father a field, and then what happens after that? And she lighted off of her ass, and Caleb said unto her, "Well, what wouldest thou?" And she answers, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land, but give me also springs of water." And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. You may be seated, and may God add the blessings to the reading of his word. Give me a blessing. As I read this, I just thought to myself where the Lord said, ye have not because ye ask not. And I began thinking about just the theme of this text and what takes place in this passage of Scripture. I remember when I was about 16 years old, maybe 17 at the most. For years and years, we had hunted out of a little hunting camper about 16 feet long. It was just a beauty, I'm telling you. 1967 model. It was orange and white striped. Orange on the top, orange on the bottom with a white stripe across the middle. Just a basic little old 1967 model camper. You've seen those, and maybe some of you own something like that. But that's what we hunted out of for years and years. My papa and mama, they finally got up in their years where they went out and they found another one somebody had for sale. It was like new, relatively new camper, and very, very nice compared to this little thing we hunted out of for so long. And they bought it. And began to hunt out of that newer camper and camp out of that newer camper. The old camper sat behind their house for a long time. And I got to eyeballing that thing as a 16-year-old boy, and I thought that would really make something nice for a 16-year-old boy. 1967 model, I mean, it orange and white is pretty rough, but in my eyes, that was like a Cadillac. And so one day I finally got up my nerve. My papa and I were working around his house and hanging out, doing whatever. And I'd been working all day and planning on how could I ask him if I could use that camper. This was a pretty big event. There toward the end of the day, it was getting time for me to head on home. And I kept watching my watch and looking at the clock. It was in me to ask because I wanted it, but I didn't want to ask. I didn't know how to ask. And so finally I thought, it's do or die. I'm just going to spit it out. And so we went down behind his house and went by the camper, and he was looking at it. And so I thought, I better do it now. This is opportunity. And so I just asked him, I said, "Paul," I said, "since you and Granny have got that new camper, and you told me I could stay with you anytime I wanted to in it, but I thought it'd be pretty nice if I could just use your camper." I said, "Would that be all right, Paul? Do you think we could do that?" And he looked at me and he grinned and he said, "I've kind of been waiting on you to ask me that." And he said, "In fact, your granny and I have been talking and we're just going to give you that camper." And boy, you'd have thought I won the lottery. There I was at the end of the day with a 1967 model orange and white camping trailer. Man, I'm telling you, I was living in high heaven and just living in hog heaven. And so that's the way it is, I think, though, many times with our Lord. And I think that's why the Bible teaches us we have not because we ask not. I think it's because many times I believe the Lord is wanting us just to ask. And you know what? We don't ask oftentimes. But I want to make it very clear tonight that I believe we serve a God who wants to bless us. I believe that with all my heart. Now, there's some extremities, if you will, on this doctrine of blessing, we may say. There is today those wealth and health preachers who they believe that everybody's supposed to be rich and healthy, and if you're not rich and healthy, it's because you've not had enough faith and you are not sold out to Jesus. Well, we know that's totally not true. In fact, one TV evangelist, TV preacher, somebody mentioned his name in conversation with me the other day, he made this statement that I had read actually about 2 weeks ago. He made this statement. He said, "I believe God wants everybody to be financially rich." Well, that's just not the way it always works out. Because he knows for some of us that if we were financially rich, it would be our demise. That we would turn from him and we would worship money as our God instead of worshiping him. Some people can handle wealth, others cannot. But there's that extremity on blessings, that there's these preachers and this movement that says God wants you to be rich and healthy. If you're not, you don't have enough faith. You need to name it and claim it. If you really believe it when you name it, then it's going to be yours when you wake up the next day. But there's this other extremity on the doctrine of blessings that says, well, God's done enough for us. We really shouldn't ask him for anything else. And in fact, we ought to torment ourselves and we ought to afflict ourselves and we ought to just live a life of poverty and extreme and suffer to show him how much we love him and how much we're thankful for what he has done for us. Well, that's just not true either. And that movement says, look, God's already done so much for us, we should not ask for one more thing. Well, let me ask you this. How many of you have ever said to your children, set them down and said, now I want you to understand something, son or daughter. We're giving you a bed to sleep in, clothes to wear, and food on the table. We do not want you to ever ask for anything else. Don't ever come to me with a want. Don't ever come to me with any other needs. We've given you the basic needs. I don't want to hear nothing out of you about asking for this or for that. I wonder how many people have ever said that to your children. Not anyone. Not one person in this church. But instead, you know what they do? Our kids come and they ask for this or they ask for that. And you know what we do as parents? We yield the best we can. If we've got money to get it, many times in today's world, if we ain't got money, we still go get it. But we like to spoil our children. Amen? Okay, three people like to spoil their kids. Youngins, if you ain't got spoiled at home, come home with me after church and I'll try my best to spoil you since mom and daddy obviously ain't spoiling you. Well, we like to spoil our kids and we like to give them all that we can give them. Well, I want you to understand this. That's the way God is. God wants to spoil his children and he does a very good job of it, if I may say. Yes, I understand that he has blessed us. Yes, I understand that he has richly given unto us in Christ Jesus. Just our salvation alone, that is enough for us to praise him and worship him for all of eternity. Just the very fact that he saved me from hell, my friend, that is enough that I ought to just not to even ask for anything for the rest of my days. But I know what the Bible teaches us. And the Bible gives us example. And the Bible shows us over and over. So we serve a God who wants to bless. Now, let me say this. The very first thing that Aksah moves Othniel to ask Caleb for is this. She says, go ask him for some pasture land. And so he goes to his father-in-law, and he says, can I have some pasture land? We want to start a home. We want to have a place we can raise cattle. We want to have a place where we can succeed. We want to have a place where we can thrive. We want to have a place where we can dwell in safety. Can you give us that? And Caleb graciously, in fact, so willingly, the Bible, just in a set of a semicolon, grants that petition. And there's little recorded of that. Othniel asked, Caleb granted. I want to tell you what those pastures represent. If you ever study out the word fields in Scripture or pastures in Scripture, it's really a representation of the blessings of faith. And I want you to understand this. I had no clue until God saved me about all the blessings of faith. Boy, God blesses us with so much when we express our faith in Him to be Lord and Savior of our life. I mean, the fields of faith, if you will. The fields of faith are rich and abundant with his blessings. I'll never forget when I got saved, I'll never forget the blessing of his peace that he gave us. He set me down in a field of peace. My heart had been so troubled. My heart had been so restless. My heart had been so worried and so tried and so tormented. And I'll never forget, almost immediately when God saved me, the peace that flooded my soul. And I want to say tonight that just his peace and his peace alone makes him worthy of our praise and our thanksgiving. Are you with me? What about in the back there? You guys with me up here? Am I going to move you to the front and get you up here closer? All right. So the peace that he gives, the joy that he brings. I mean, the joy is it's unspeakable and full of glory, the Bible says. What about the friendships that he allows us to encounter? What about his word that he gives us? His statutes, his commands, the words of life to live by. I'll never forget when God saved me, how he brought his word to life. And it was as if every time I opened it, it was a new book and it spoke to my heart. So there's many, many blessings in this, in the fields of faith, if you will, the pastures that he gives us, which is the blessings of faith. But Aksah, she realized that there was a little more to be had. You've give us a south land. You've give us prime pasture land. And all of that's good, Daddy. But Daddy, there's something else that I feel like we need. And Daddy saw her coming. He saw the sincere, humble petition in her eyes and the need in her heart. And he looks at her and he makes this statement. He says, what do you need? What are you coming for? What can I give you? And she says, well, you've given us that pasture land, but there's just something a little bit more. It would be really good if you could give us some springs of water. It would be really good if you could just give us some springs in addition to that pasture land. That would be like the blessing upon blessings. And the Bible says that Caleb granted her that request. In fact, not only did he give them a spring, but he gave them the upper springs and the lower springs, so that no matter which way they traveled in their pasture land, they were going to have springs of water, of life-giving water, that would refresh their souls. And I just wonder if there's anybody here tonight who you have ever worked a day where you were literally parched. Nobody would know anything about that living under this Georgia sun working out in the field, would you? Where you had been out in that sun all day long and it had beat down on you and beat down on you. And you had drunk water, but you had sweated and sweated. And at the end of the day, you were parched. And you went in your house. Maybe some of you remember going to a well and drawing water out of a well. And you got a cup of ice cold water. And you let that water touch your lips and roll across your tongue down into your parched body. You think about how refreshing that is. But I want you to understand that God not only has blessed us, but he has this way of super blessing us. In fact, the Bible says that when we think about the Word of God in the book of John, he says, and from his fullness we have all received. Now wait, from his fullness, the fullness of the Godhead, the God who made the heavens and earth and all that is within it, from the fullness of his, from him, he has given us grace upon grace. Boy, blessings are refreshing, but I want you to understand that when God gives us blessing, when God gives us grace upon grace, which literally means a superabundance of God's grace. Blessings are great, but when God gives us a superabundance of grace upon blessings, my friend, that is refreshing to a weary soul. And we've got a God that wants to bless us just that way. We've got a God who loves us in just that way. And so she says, I want the spring. And the Lord says, or Caleb says, it's done. I'll give it to you. Now, the Bible teaches us many things about the fact, this doctrine of blessing. So what I want you to see tonight, what I'm trying to show you is this. I'm trying to show you that, yes, you've been blessed. Yes, you recognize that blessing. Had I asked for thanks and praises tonight in our prayer time, they would have been offered all across this church. So you understand how blessed you are. I pray you do tonight. That's not our message, but I pray you look around and you can see we are blessed. I went through the hospital today, floor by floor, around corner after corner, and saw families and lives that were broken and people hurting and people weeping. There was so much need there. And as I was walking on two good feet, I said, Lord, thank you that I'm not here today as a patient. I'm not here as a weeping family member. But I'm here just to visit and minister, so you need to look around. We're blessed. But I want you to understand that not only are you blessed, but our God is able to bless you even more. And I wonder tonight sometimes if we don't really just kind of struggle along and live in mediocrity simply because we have not and will not say, Lord, give me a blessing. Give me a blessing today. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you asked for that? You asked for your needs today. You had needs. You asked for those. You prayed for somebody else. Maybe you prayed prayers of thanksgiving and prayers of worship. But when's the last time you said, Lord, give me a blessing? You say, preacher, now listen, I'm just going to confess to you that if you're super holy, it's hard for you to do this. I can't ask God for that. I can't do it. It's just not right. Well, let me show you in the Bible some examples that is very right, this doctrine of blessing, that God wants to bless His people, that God wants to bless Liberty Baptist. Yes, He has. Yes, He is. But He still wants to bless. He has greater things in store for you, for your family, for your children, for this church, for His people. Look in Deuteronomy 28 really quick. Go over. Last of the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. I hear three Bibles turning. Did you bring your Bible today? Amen. Deuteronomy 28. Now watch this. I'm going to read a few verses, but I can't preach and add to what the Lord has already spoken. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Now watch. Listen what we're talking about. We're talking about give me a blessing. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and to observe and to do all of His commandments, which I command thee this day. I understand these are prerequisites. That the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee. That's a military term right there. It literally refers to the enemy or to the opposing force running you down and capturing you. But God uses it, and what He says is you're going to have blessings. Excuse me. You're going to have blessings that's going to come upon you, and they are going to capture you. God said, I'm going to bless you so much that you're going to be captured by my blessings. Verse 2, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy blanket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. And the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and all that thou settest thy hand unto, and He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto Himself as He has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep thy commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in His ways. And all of the people shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure, the heaven to give rain unto the land in His season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Do you understand what we just read? What we just read is the Lord says this, if you'll follow me and you'll walk in my ways, Everything that you have is going to be blessed. Everywhere you go is going to be a blessed place. Everything you put your hands to, I'm going to bless. Everybody that gets around you, they're going to be blessed because I'm blessing you in such a great way. I mean, Deuteronomy 28, those first 13 verses, they tell us that we serve a God who wants to bless His children. Now watch this, the book of Philippians 4, or book of Philippians, the Bible says this, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Did you hear that little word that joins all that together? And my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Not He's going to supply all of my need from His riches or from His riches in heaven through Christ Jesus. No, He said according. That's pretty significant right there. Watch this. If Ted Turner come in here tonight and I met him in the foyer, realized who he was, he introduced himself, and he says, Preacher David, I really believe in the ministry that's happening here at Liberty Baptist Church. In fact, I believe so much in this ministry, I'm going to write you a check. Now, he's a what, a multi-billionaire? I'm going to write you a check. And, man, I would get pretty excited about that time. Like, very excited. I'm automatically thinking about not only winning Franklin County, but now I've got in my mind worldwide ministry for Liberty Baptist Church because Ted Turner's about to write us a check from his checkbook. And so he writes me a check and hands it to me. I stick it in my pocket excited, and when I get home, I open it up and look at it. And it's a check for the grand total of $500. Now, he just wrote me a check from His riches. He didn't just write me a check according to His riches. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Does that make sense? Well, the Bible teaches us that God will supply all of our need according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. He has riches in glory, and it's ours because of what Christ Jesus has done and is today, and it's the blessings God's got in store for His children. Watch this. Bible teaches us this then. Bible says in Psalm 84, the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. The Bible says this. The Bible says if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He shall give us the desires of our heart. Amen? Does the Bible say that? The Bible says that. That if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He shall give us the desires of our heart. Lord, give me a blessing. Are you convinced tonight? Yes or no? This is audience participation. You're really not with it. You have the obvious look of being hung over on Christmas food. You have eaten too much junk. You need to purify your body, cleanse your system, and get unhung over and get with it in this meeting tonight. So listen, that is the doctrine of blessing. That is the doctrine of God wanting to bless His people. So I want to ask you this, when is the last time in your prayers that you have thanked Him for all that He's done and all that He is, thanked Him for the many blessings He's given you, but then in addition to that, say this, Lord, give me a blessing. Give me a blessing. Some years ago, that book came out, and it was a good book, very biblical. I read it, and it's an encouraging book. If you've never read it, go get it. Many of you remember the trend that caught on at the time. But it was, the name of the book was The Prayer of Jabez. And it was written by Bruce Wilkerson. He literally takes you through the prayer of Jabez, breaks it down, and explains it very clearly, very biblically. He received a lot of flack from it from a lot of notable preachers because they felt he was preaching a wealth and health gospel or prosperity preaching, and it wasn't that at all. It was just the Bible. It was just where Jabez prayed. And he just asked God for a blessing. And God blessed Jabez. The Bible teaches us that God granted Jabez his request. That's the doctrine of blessing. God wants to bless his children. When's the last time you've asked God, God, we thank you for what you've done at Liberty, what you're doing at Liberty, but Lord, give us a blessing at Liberty. When was the last time you asked God for that at Liberty Baptist Church? You're still not convinced? Girls, come to the piano. Let me give you one more. And this one's even better, I believe, than the other scriptures I've given you. Just the chapter before this chapter that we read tonight. Now watch. Now keep in mind, we are speaking about Caleb, who said if somebody can go and take this land that's before us, I will give him my daughter. Othniel does that. Othniel marries Aksah. And in turn, they ask for the blessing. They get the blessing. They receive the blessing. Did you notice that Caleb didn't have to scratch his head? Did you notice Scripture wastes no time discussing at length or discussing at all about Caleb trying to figure things up? Well, can we give him a blessing? Should we give him a blessing? Have they been deserving of the blessing? None of that. Aksah ask, give us some springs. Give us a blessing. Caleb grants it. We're speaking of Caleb. Just the chapter before Israel is moving through the land in conquest. They've entered the promised land. Enemy forces are occupying every city. But God has said, I've give it all to you. You've just got to go take it. Now see, that's the way faith works. You got to believe God said it's yours, and then we do our part. We go take it. And so Israel's making that march. Caleb, he remembers that some 40 years ago that Moses had promised him the land of Hebron in Israel. And so as the children of Israel are taking the land that God has given them, Caleb looks out and he sees that piece that was promised to him. And he says, wait a minute, I remember that promise 40 years ago. I'm going to go ask about that. It's occupied by the enemy right now, but I'm about to go claim it. And so he goes to Joshua, who's in charge. Now, Moses has died. He couldn't enter the promised land. Joshua's leading God's people. And he goes to Joshua, and he says, hey, Joshua, he said, let's talk just a minute. He said, you remember when me and you went with the other 10 and we spied out the promised land? And he said, we come back. And he said, I did not waver in what God had spoken to me. I wholly followed the Lord my God. I come back, you and I come back, and we give our report. 10 of the spies said, we can't take it. It's too big. The enemy's too big. We're going to die there. But he said, you and I, we wholly followed God, and we said we can take that land. And he said, Joshua, I never wavered from my conviction. And he said, I followed the Lord. And he said, in fact, this, I was 40. This is what the Bible says, chapter 14. I was 40 when Moses gave me that promise. And for 40 years, I followed Moses and the rest of these children with you around in the wilderness, wandering around and around. And now God's brought us in the promised land. Hebron is before me, and I am now 85 years old. But I am as strong now at 85 as I was at 40 because God didn't let my strength diminish in those wanderings because I wholly followed him. In fact, Caleb says, I can still fight here now at 85 as good as I could fight at 40. That's a good prayer for some of you fellas to pray. He said, I can fight as good, I'm as much of a soldier now at 85 as I was at 40. And Joshua, this one thing I want, Hebron is before me. It's been promised to me. We're taking the land of Israel by force. We're winning battle after battle after battle. God is blessing us. God has been good to us. God has sustained us. He's even let me retain my strength of a 40-year-old at me at 85. But Joshua, this one thing I want that land. And here's what he says, give me this mountain. And so the Bible basically teaches us then in the rest of chapter 14 that Joshua said, it's yours, go have it. And so Caleb goes to Joshua, ask for a blessing, and Joshua says, take it. And then years later, Caleb's offspring comes to him and says, give me this blessing. And Caleb grants that request. Friends, listen to me right now. I just really wonder what would happen in your family. Men, as the head of your house, as spiritual leaders in your home, what would happen in your home and amongst your children if you'd get on your face every day and not only thank God for what He's done in the past, and not only appreciate Him and praise Him for what He's doing today, but also, and not only bring your needs to Him, I think that's a form of worship because the Bible teaches us that, but come before the Lord and say, now, Lord, as for my family and my home, Father, just give us a blessing. We need a blessing that only heaven can give. I wonder what would happen in your home if you'd do that. Mama, I wonder what would happen in the life of your children, because I've always said, and I believe it still this day, I believe there's something powerful, something special about the prayers that mamas pray. What would happen, Mama, among your children and in your marriage if you got down every day and thanked Him for what He's done, praise Him for what He's doing, but then just ask Him, God, not only meet our needs in the days ahead and meet our needs for this day, but Lord, do more than that. Bless us. Give us a blessing that only You can give. I wonder what would happen with your children and with your marriage if you prayed that, ladies. Church, listen, I wonder if we move from these pews tonight and we come to this altar and we say this, God, undoubtedly, You have blessed Liberty Baptist Church. We look on our history. We look on our days gone by. We look upon a brand new sanctuary that we worship in service after service. And God, there's no doubt that You've been good to Liberty. And God, we look Sunday to Sunday. We see lives being, people being saved, people being reached, lives being changed. And God, we praise You for what You're doing. You're obviously working, God, and we thank You and give You glory for that. But God, all of that's good. And God, we've got our own special set of needs at Liberty. We need laborers. We need the spirit of revival. We still got so many we want to see saved. And God, these are all of our requests. But God, as we close out in prayer, just this one extra thing, Lord. Father, would You not just give us a blessing at Liberty Baptist Church? Just give us, God, what only You can give us. Listen to me, the world can't bless us like God can. This community can't bless us like God can. There's nobody, the Georgia Baptist Convention can't bless us like God can. There are blessings God has laid up in heaven that only God can give, and they're only for Liberty Baptist Church. But you know what? We got to ask. Lord, give me this blessing. What would happen in 2019 if we ask God, God bless Liberty? If every time we pray, God, we need a blessing, we need You to bless us. Because I want to tell you something, in a sense and in a truth, that is humble submission to the Lord. Because it's acknowledging to Him, Lord, there's blessing found in no other but You. And so we're asking You, because of what You've said in Your Word, that if we will delight ourselves in You, You'll give us the desires of our heart. Deuteronomy 28, You've said if we follow You, that everywhere we go is going to be blessed, that everywhere we've been is going to be blessed, that everything we do is going to be blessed, that we're going to be blessed, that people around us are going to be blessed, that our livestock are going to be blessed, our pastures are going to be blessed, our sheep's going to be blessed. God, You've said that in Your Word. You said no good thing would You withhold from them. You've said that You'll meet our need according to Your riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Lord, give us this mountain. Give us this blessing. I wonder if you've asked that lately. If you've not asked it, this Wednesday night, 2019, I'd ask. Stand, and if you need to come tonight, you come.